This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today, as I am Monday through Friday at this same time on this same station as we discuss issues of importance to your life and your faith. What a great grace it is to use these airwaves for the honor and glory of God, to have the opportunity to proclaim His marvelous deeds and to share in this moment as we come together to praise Him and to thank Him. Do want to let you know that we're available for you today in all kinds of different ways. First of all, I'm going to give you a number. It's toll-free for you right here in North America, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here. Additionally, you can go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel or Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll be only too happy to get it retrieved and up on the board. We can also receive your text message with your question or comment. We sure can. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put in your question or comment. Let us know your name too. It's always nice to be able to address you that way and how it is that you're listening, and we will get it again and be able to address it. Do know that message and data rates may apply. We've got Matthew Gubensky out there on the phones. So excited about that. If you're a first timer, let us know and I will ring my bell to welcome you. Social media is Michael McCall. He'll be collecting and retrieving those questions and answers that you leave for us out there at EWTN's YouTube channel. And if you're a first time submitter, we want to know that as well, and we will ring our bell for you. Well, today is the first Monday of the month. Today's a very important day for all kinds of reasons, but it's also the first Monday of the month, and that means that it is Marriage Monthly Monday, and I am joined by my husband, the one and only Jack Williams. Good morning, honey.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm dandy. How are you?
Terrific. Thank you. I'm Lepontoing.
You're Lepontoing.
I am.
Yes, yes. Why are you Lepontoing?
Because it's the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary.
Yes, it certainly is. And of course, you know, that name, Our Lady of the Rosary, was not the original name for Our Lady for this day. Her original name, or title, if you will, for this day was Our Lady of Victory because of the battle that you just cited. And that was the Battle of Lepanto. The name, the title, or the day at least, was changed to Our Lady of the Rosary because it was through the Rosary that the Holy League triumphed over the Sultan forces that were seeking to take over Europe. With Islam, with the Muslim religion. And so Christianity was saved in Europe by way of the Rosary. So if you don't mind, Jack, you know, I composed a little prayer this morning for my staff because, of course, we're facing once again there in Florida the hurricane, and we know that people are still reeling from Hurricane Helene there in Florida, as well as North Carolina and Georgia and Virginia and a little bit in Alabama. You know, so many different states were really just rocked by the ravages of Hurricane Helene. So if you don't mind, may I just pray this little prayer with all of us together today, asking for the intercession of all of you, our listeners, for all of those good people that are in Florida. I know that my staff is very busy right now. I spoke with a couple of people and they're quite busy, you know, boarding up their windows and taking care of business so that they can hopefully make it through this storm as unscathed as possible. Do you mind if I do that?
Not at all.
All right. So we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I would ask all of you to join us in this beautiful prayer as we pray to Our Lady. Dear Our Lady of the Rosary, Mother of Victory, on this day, the forces of evil were vanquished through your intercession and Christianity was saved in Europe. Today, evil presses heavily upon us politically, culturally, and spiritually, and its fury knows no bounds. Through your intercession, may this, our Lepanto, be won. Our Lady of Victory, I confidently ask that you would intercede with particular efficacy against the diabolical power of Hurricane Milton. Through your most holy grace, may this storm be rendered impotent. Amen. We pray this prayer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Good job.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now, I would encourage everyone, however, that we yield. We make our petitions known always to our Heavenly Father, but we yield to His divine providence. So I would not let the praying of this prayer keep you from your preparedness if you are in the regions of the west coast of Florida and beyond. It would be prudent to continue with those as prudence dictates.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just praying for guardian angels to protect our little property there, because we cannot be there to take care of business. So we're just asking for the, I'm asking our Blessed Mother to send a legion of angels to protect our property, to protect lives. That's the most important thing. Property is important, but the most important thing is to protect lives. And so we do ask for that protection. Thank you, honey, for that good reminder. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very good reminder. Now, I happen to know, I have it on very good authority, that you have, you have a topic lined up for this particular Marriage Monthly Monday.
Monthly Marriage Monday.
There you go.
Monthly Marriage Monday. So yeah, I have, as we well know, marriage is under attack. The evil one has launched an all-out assault, or continued his all-out assault, on marriage and the family. And I, today, want to talk briefly about one of the greatest attacks against marriage, especially at this time of the year. What do you think it is?
Golly gee, well then, I don't know exactly. I mean, I think that marriage is always under attack. It's not a seasonal thing. But at this time of the year, I think it's football.
You're absolutely correct.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I guessed it right?
Football is exactly right. Exactly the topic. And football can be a problem within marriages.
Jack, tell us about it, Jack.
Well, I wanted to give you major kudos because first of all, why don't you share with our listeners, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 1 being not interested at all and 10 being I couldn't be more interested, where does your interest level fall for football in general?
Probably at a minus 10.
That's what I figured. So, and in somewhat slightly passive aggressive ways, you used to make that known pretty clearly in the early days of our marriage.
Yes, I probably did.
But now I can still tell that it's not your favorite thing, but you have made heroically virtuous efforts to incorporate my desire to watch certain football games with a tremendous amount of grace and charity.
Oh, well, my goodness sakes. Well, heavens to Betsy. That's an amazing thing.
And I think this weekend, really, if you look at this weekend, I think it was a beautiful compromise between loving and not caring a hoot about football between the two of us, and we can talk about it.
I would love to talk about that. This is a surprising topic. Well, friends, we're happy you're with us to hear it. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams, very happy to be with you today, encouraging you to give us a call on this monthly Marriage Monday. We are eager to hear from you. Jack Williams, my husband, is in studio there at EWTN. I'm not in studio with him today, but that doesn't mean we're separated, only a little bit by distance.
But they can see me waving at them.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. So you can all wave back to Jack.
All of our fans that are watching on
YouTube. Well, we do appreciate that. We do want you to give us a call here. Toll-free number for you, 833-288-EWTN. That's toll-free if you are in North America. That's 833-288-3986. 866. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel available for you there. You can use the chat feature and put your question or comment in there. And you can even text us. Get that. You can text us your question or comment. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response. Then put in your name, your question, where you're calling from, all that kind of good information. Do know that message and data rates may apply. Before we get back to it, I just want to mention to everybody, Jack, that Pope Francis is urging Christians worldwide to dedicate today this Feast of the Holy Rosary, this Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Victory, as a day of prayer and fasting in the face of ongoing global conflict. He emphasized the urgent need for the Christian community to unite and serve humanity during these troubled times. And indeed, I'll tell you what, that is a very good prayer. And if you don't pray the rosary on a regular basis, or if you don't pray it daily, today is the day to pick up the beads and begin to make it regular. It is a great day, if you do pray it on occasion, to make a decision to pray it every single day. Our Lady requested that at Fatima, and sometimes I think that if we would have heeded that request, we wouldn't be seeing today what we are seeing today. Sometimes we think it's going to take all kinds of peace treaties and everything to bring peace to the world, but what it will take is prayer. Now, when it comes to football, you know, that might be a whole nother matter, Jack.
Well, and we'll get to that here in just one second, but I also wanted to remind people, If you don't have the EWTN app on your phone, or if you've never been to EWTN.com with any great regularity, and some people, you know, we just recently had to replace a television that was almost 20 years old, one of the very first flat screen plasma TVs that you and Thea had purchased shortly after the passing of your late husband, Anthony.
Yep.
And that served us very well. But, you know, all of these TVs that are coming up nowadays are smart TVs, and you can pick up the internet and everything. So people who don't like to carry their computer around or carry their tablet around, but they still want all the benefits of EWTN and they don't have a smart TV, have I got a solution for you? And that's the Apple TV Player. It allows you to instantly stream your favorite EWTN television and radio shows right on your television. It's just like the app on your phone. You can get all the content from EWTN, and all you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV Player.
That's excellent. You'll have to show me how to use that. I'm not sure.
We have two of them.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. Having them and knowing how to use them.
It's
that's
easy.
A whole nother matter.
It's easy. I'll show you. And then you can, the next testimonial you can give will be your own.
Well, that'd be terrific. But you know, it takes me a bit. I'm just not mechanically inclined or technologically inclined. But I love you.
It will. So listen, there's there's this term football widow, right? Where
yes.
Some women feel like they've completely lost their husbands to football on the weekend during football season. And let's be honest, especially on Saturdays here in the South where college football is so big, you could watch TV from dawn until way beyond midnight on any given Saturday and not miss anything. And I will usually have a game on in the background at any given time. And as I said,
on the radio.
That's a whole different deal.
But it's true.
Well, it is. It is. I'm a Michigan Wolverine, so I need a hug today. After this weekend, but I like to listen to the Michigan radio broadcast and watch it on television. So that's where that comes from. So I can listen to the Michigan radio broadcast on my phone and watch it on TV. But, you know, one of the ways, because this was a little bit of a point of contention more so than now earlier in our relationship. But as I said earlier, you've done a wonderful job of, you know, I can still tell that it's not your favorite thing in the world, but you've made a concerted effort to not mope around too much if there's, especially if during the Michigan game. That's really the only one that it's must see for me on a weekend. And I've learned that when it's not the Michigan game, or even if it were, but it hasn't happened yet, if there's something that you would really like to do, then I can step away from the football and we can do the thing that you really wanted to do. And I think we did both of those things this weekend, and we have single-handedly kept a local nursery in business.
It's pumpkin mania here in Alabama. And, you know, I've never seen so many varieties of pumpkins in my life. And they're all beautiful. And so I thought we should have several different varieties here at the house. And we do. We have them on the porch. We have them on the back porch. We have them out on the patio.
And oh, by the way,
inside of plants.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 giant mums.
Oh, well, yes. The mums are so pretty at this time of the year.
Yeah.
So. Yes, we did. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun at the nursery. I'm not so sure you did, but you know, it was something that we enjoyed together.
Yeah. So you resisted the urge to interrupt football, and I'll even give you bigger kudos than this: is you actually tried to sit down and watch a little football during the day on Saturday, and we got about 10 minutes into that exercise, and you felt so badly for the team that was losing that you couldn't watch anymore.
I can't. That's what happens. See, it's first of all, I don't have a lot of knowledge about the game, but my father was just a sports nut. And I think that's probably the reason why my sister and I don't lean into sports, because sports was such a big deal. And my dad was not an easy viewer. My father was emotionally involved to the slamming of doors and the screaming and the yelling and the running from one room to another room to watch this play on that game and this play on. So it was a maddening experience. My dad was a lovely man, a wonderful man, a very calm, mild-mannered man, except when it came to football. And then he wasn't. I think all of his interior aggression came out in watching the sport. That's beside that. That's my psychological evaluation. But we'll just leave that to the side. And then my late husband loved to watch football. So just having it in the air by osmosis, I've picked up a little bit, you know. But I don't know the technicalities, and I've asked you questions, and you've done a great job of explaining, but they go in one ear and out the other. It's like there's no framework in my brain to really hang it on. So when it gets into the weeds on it, then, you know, I just need a machete to try to get rid of the weeds. So, but that being said, the biggest thing is that I don't want anybody to lose. And so, you know, my heart breaks for these guys, you know? I mean, they're big, you know, hunky guys and all of that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, you know, my mom's heart is like, oh, he's probably so disappointed. And, oh my goodness. And, you know, and I can't deal with the losses, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a hard thing.
It is. But I think that the bottom line here is that, you know, one way that I think we can help this situation, which is a very real situation in a lot of marriages, especially here in America, is, and I think this is something that we are learning to do and have learned to do better over the years of our marriage so far, is this doesn't have to be an all or nothing proposition, with usually most of the men taking the all position and most of the women taking the nothing position, and that's the only thing that they think is going to satisfy them. But if we can give a little on each end, I think we can make it work pretty nicely.
Well, I think that that's true, and I think that that's the beautiful reality of showing love and affection for each other, that we try very much to be involved in what each other likes to the extent that we can, you know, tolerate it for a while. And so I'm working on the toleration part. I appreciate all of your very nice little statements about me, your little, you know, compliments.
Words of encouragement.
And of course, words of encouragement are important, because words of encouragement encourage. And what do they encourage you? Toward more of the same kind of behavior, and maybe even to become a little bit better at it. So, you know, I pledge here on international radio that I will continue to strive to be more understanding, patient, and diligent when it comes to the game of football. I would even like to like it. You know, I would like to like it, but it's just really hard for me to do that. And thank you very much for taking me to the nursery and letting me shop. You know, when in my late marriage, you know, Anthony would get so involved in the game, and he was just so single-minded about it that, you know, I would just say, listen, honey, I'm going to go shopping. He'd say, okay, okay. And I'd say, and I'm going to take the credit card. Okay, okay. I'm probably going to use the credit card. Okay, that's fine. Hey, go, go. And then, of course, later it was another matter. But I have to say that I took advantage of the opportunity. Ah, dear me. Well, there's a confession for you today. I don't know what to say about all that. But, you know, give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Is football a problem in your house? Well, if it's a problem, let us know about it. Now, I do have to say this. You know, I've got little grandsons that are playing football right now, two 10-year-old twins and two 6-year-old twins. And then I've got two little girl, you know, we've got two little girl granddaughters who are cheering at these games. So we did, when we were visiting in South Florida not long ago, attend games. And it was interesting. It is fun to watch those little guys hustle around on that field. They didn't have enough team members for one of those games, but it was a lot of fun anyway. But give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Listen, we have Laura Huval with us in Louisiana.
We'll get to that at a later point.
Oh, we're getting to that at a later point. Okey-doke.
Remember the magic asterisks.
Oh, you know, I'm very bad at those. Yeah, there's magic asterisks on our screen, friends. That's when we know that you're ready. But I'm generally ready a little bit before the asterisk. So I sometimes just jump forward there. So thank you for your patience.
That's exactly right. So first of all, I want to let everybody know, we should have done this at the beginning of the program, but this is actually only going to be a half monthly Marriage Monday. You know, you're always talking about how you would like to do this every week, and I always remind you that I have a job, and that's not always...
But this is a job.
Yeah. So I have a meeting that I just absolutely can't get out of at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to have to duck out. So I want all sorts of questions from the male perspective about marriage for Johnette on the second half of the hour. And Rich Jesse has just texted us that the second half is made for comebacks.
It's so. Made for comebacks. Oh, okay. See, that's another football thing, right? Oh, I picked up on that.
You're going to hurt Rich now. He's laughing so hard behind the glass now.
I got it. Well, you and Robert were really hoping for a comeback from Michigan.
But it didn't happen. But I'll tell you, it's interesting. Here's another funny thing that you and I have not discussed since that evening. But that was probably far and away the calmest, most rational, most laid back that the two of us have ever watched a game together that I can remember. And you thought it was so high stress and so high leverage.
Well, I did retreat to the bedroom. I said, excuse me, I think I'm going to go read. So the dog and I went and we read. I read, dog laid there.
So it was kind of an interesting thing. But, you know, this really spills over, I think, into a lot of different categories of attacks that can come against us as a married couple. And I think that the principle really applies to just about anything we might face is if we don't take an all or nothing or a me against you attitude, and if we allow ourselves to look at things rationally and sort of meet in the middle, if that's appropriate, we can solve a lot of problems.
Yes. Well, you know, what happens is sometimes people box themselves into the corner. You know, they box themselves into the corner of a position on any number of things, whether it's about, being a football widow, or whether it's about, a political, opinion about something, or a cultural opinion about something. People will box themselves into corners, and they feel as though, I'm not talking about things that you have to defend that are right. Right from wrong is right from wrong. You know, and we should allow ourselves to stand very firm on those positions, always with charity, of course, and concern. But that being said, sometimes on very minor kinds of things, we can box ourselves into a corner. And then somebody, you know, has got to relent. Right? And neither party wants to relent. And this can begin to set up walls within a marriage, really big walls. In a marriage, especially, but in any relationship, really. So, you know, we don't want to do that, you know, and where is grace? I remember something that I read once a long time ago. You're going to like this, I think, Jack. And I'm trying to remember, it was one of the saint, male saints, and I believe his name began with a B. So I don't think it's Saint Benedict, but
Bonaventure.
I can't remember. It's Bernard or Clairvaux, Bernard of Clairvaux or of Siena, or it could be Saint Bonaventure. I'm not really sure. But one of them said that, you know, that in humility, even if you know that someone is wrong about something, there is greater grace in just saying nothing than in trying to make the correction. Now, here I'm not talking about moral issues, right, that we know right from wrong. Here I'm just talking about little things. You know, in the case of this, I can remember the scenario. I just can't remember the saint. You know, the scenario is even if, you know, you are told to do something one way, and this had to do with his religious order in community life, and you know it would be better or more efficacious to do it a different way, sometimes, you know, just acquiescing out of charity of heart.
And
you
obedience.
Know, obedience being a big one. There is more grace in that, and there's more growth and humility in that. So, you know, I can think of so many times and so many instances where people will find themselves really in a mess because they absolutely won't acquiesce, and it leads to a great big argument. It's just keep your mouth closed. Say nothing. Does it really matter in the end? You know, if it's over something that's relatively small, it doesn't.
I'm told that comes from the rule of Saint Benedict.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so it was Saint Benedict, and he's the first one I didn't think it was. Well, there, I stand corrected today. Thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right, baby. Now, after all that flowery talk, I'm bailing on you.
There you go. What can I say, folks? We're just going to let him bail. But I hope you don't bail on me, folks. Give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Listen, honey, after your meeting, give me a call. I have something to tell you. Here we are, right here on Monthly Marriage Monday. I'm Janet Williams. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Janet Williams. So very happy to be with you today on this Monthly Marriage Monday. First half of the program, my husband Jack Williams was with us. If you were with us in that first half, you know he had to dash away to a meeting, which he could not delay. So with all of that being said, I am here solo in the second part of the program, but I am so very eager to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us live here by phone. Matthew Gubensky will take your call. He will get your info up on the board for me, and I will be able to have the pleasure and the privilege of talking with you today. I will ring my bell for you just like that if you're a first-time caller, so I invite you to let me know that. I will ring that same bell for you if you're a first-time submitter at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel. If you get on out there, use that chat feature to put your question or comment in there, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We're going to have Michael McCall retrieve it and put it up on the board, and I'll be able to address it. As I said, Matthew Gubensky is out there on the phone screening your calls. You can text us your message too. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Put your question or comment in there. Keep it short, if you please. Put your name in there, where you're calling from, maybe how you're listening. We would like to know that too. And we'll get it retrieved and up on the board. Know that message and data rates may apply. So we are very eager to hear from you. We're talking about football today. I do feel like a little bit of a football widow because I don't know very much about the game. But Jack set up the premise that sometimes, you know, football can cause some problems within marriages, right? Husband's involved with it, wife isn't, or maybe the wife's involved and the husband isn't. It could go that way too. All of that being said, you know, the thing of it is that any opportunity that the evil one has to create tension between a husband and a wife, he's going to use. He does not need our help. I'm just telling you that. So we don't want to help him to do that. But perhaps you've got, some kind of a story that you want to share with us today, and we would love to hear it. Susan is here with us from Long Island, New York today, and she does have a story she wants to share with us. She is listening to us via Veritas Catholic Radio. Thank you, Veritas, for carrying Women of Grace Live. And here I am ringing the bell for you, Susan. I don't know if you're a first-time caller or not,
no,
but you're the first-time caller today.
Twice, Jeanette, but that's okay. It's nice to hear the bell.
I want to
tell you a story quickly. You and Jack this morning, I have a smile from ear to ear. I'm 66. I had an uncle growing up, and we used to go over their house every Thanksgiving for years.
Yes.
And maybe they scheduled the game, the dinner around the games. I don't know. I was a child. They had two TVs in the house. My uncle would go, just like your father, he'd go from TV to TV. And I think he did eat with us. He did eat the Thanksgiving dinner, but I'm sure that was tough for him because the games were on. But
yes.
He was probably like your father. He was just a sports fanatic. And every Thanksgiving I always remember with the games.
Yeah,
you'd rarely see him other than at dinner. But I have such good memories of it. It was with my cousins, and I'm smiling. As soon as you said that about your father, I'm like, oh, that's how my uncle was. May he rest in peace.
Well, Susan, it's interesting how these family memories can warm our heart, even when we've got situations like that. Even with my dad running from room to room, my sister and I get together. Sometimes we bemoan the fact, but most of the time we're laughing and smiling because it was so characteristic of him. And I do wonder, about it. And what I wonder about with regard to your story is why has Thanksgiving Day become football day? When you think about it, it's taking all of these people away from their loved ones on a very day that's been set aside nationally for us to give thanksgiving to God for all of the blessings that we have received. Those are some of the things that really trouble me about the sport. So in very many families now, football and Thanksgiving Day are synonymous, and even the Thanksgiving dinner is relegated to second place because of the games.
We used to actually sit at the table together and eat. Does anybody do that anymore?
I was going to say that, back in the day, Susan, when we grew up, that was what you did. And that's exactly where I was headed. We would all sit around my grandmother's table and probably very much like your family, our cousins were there, our aunts and uncles were there. The adults sat in the dining room and we kids sat at the kitchen table, but it was right there so we could see everybody and everybody could see us. I do remember some mashed potato fights, but we won't get into that right now. But the fact of the matter is,
I don't think we had that, and I'm surprised there were a lot of kids, a lot of young people.
Yeah.
And
it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But I've been to so many situations, or I've heard of so many situations where, it just isn't that way. Everything is kind of, buffet-ish, and then everybody takes their food in and goes and watches the game. But the game has come between the family, and I guess that's part of the angst of the whole deal.
No, you're in the public forum, Jeanette. Be careful; you might actually have if you start with football on the public forum, you might have mashed potatoes.
I might get mashed potatoes
so
flung
many
at me.
I mean,
at least
I'm
in sentiment.
I'm by myself, living a quiet life. But be careful. You better have Jack protecting you if you're out there talking that way about football.
Well, and I don't mean it negatively. I'm just talking about the fact that the family needs to take precedence, all of that being
changed.
Said.
Jeanette, quickly, I prayed for you last week. I am so thrilled.
You.
I'm on my way this week to size up my cataracts. Say
Good.
A prayer for me. I am so thrilled. I said a prayer for you can you see? Thank God.
Oh my goodness, I'll tell you, it's a night and day experience. It's truly a night and day experience. So I'm happy for you, Susan. And, it's an easy breezy thing. It took, 10 minutes.
I'm just going to have them checked. So we'll see where I stand.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that amazed me the most, and maybe some of you that have had that cataract surgery have experienced the same thing. You know, obviously I can see so much more clearly. I realize how unclear my vision was, even with a correction. I was not seeing well, and I knew that, but I didn't know to what extent. But the thing that amazed me the most, because I had one eye done one week and the other eye done another week, is the difference in color. I mean, that is what blew me away, how bright things were and that white looked white. The white that I was seeing, I realized because I had the comparison between the two eyes, the white that I was seeing with the eye that wasn't corrected was sort of like a, you know, a dingy kind of color.
Yeah. So, I think that's where I'm, but I'm a little younger. I'm afraid to go in and have it done if they want it done. But my reading is getting, my sister said you're farsighted. I'm having trouble reading, and I heard you say that too.
Well, yeah, I couldn't read. Well, I've been in bifocals for a little while. So, you know, I needed it initially for distance and then distance and close up. But the cataracts were compromising my capacity to see, period, because it's a coating, it's a covering on your eye.
Yeah,
so
you're
looking
I'm
through
nervous
a film.
I might be doing it alone, but I'll figure it out. Me, my guardian angel and God. So we'll figure it out.
Good, Susan.
I had a big smile today, Jeanette, with the football stories. I'll pray for my uncle. May he rest in peace. I have good memories of the Thanksgivings, even with the football.
Well, God bless you, Susan. It's always good to hear from you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you got through last week, Jeanette. I'm happy
thank
for you.
Thank you. Me too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Yeah, one more healing day on this, and I should be good to go. We'll pray that that's the case. So 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. Looking forward to having the opportunity to chit-chat with you today about anything that you'd like to talk about. It is Monthly Marriage Monday. However, my husband had a meeting, so we couldn't stay through the whole program. So I'm here by my lonesome self on this Monthly Marriage Monday. Keep me company by giving me a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to having an opportunity to spend some time with you today. So we were talking about the fact that in addition to this being Monthly Marriage Monday, today is a very special day. It is the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. And I was sharing with you at the beginning of the program that initially that title of Our Lady was Our Lady of Victory. And she was given that name as a result of her intercession that won the Battle of Lepanto. The Holy League was terribly, terribly undermanned and really under-equipped, ill-equipped to meet the very well-equipped and well-manned galleon ships of the Sultan tribe. And they met and they fought. And against all odds, literally against all odds, the Holy League won the day. But they had been praying to Our Lady, and this is why Our Lady deserves recognition for that win. The Holy Father had asked everybody, all of the faithful, to be praying the Rosary. To be praying the Rosary as this battle was taking place. In addition to that, prior to the battle, there were priests that were aboard the ships of the Holy League. They were ministering to the men. The men that were manning these ships were all prisoners. And they had been promised that their freedom if they survived this battle. But the priests were hearing confessions, were praying, were attending to the spiritual needs of these individuals as well. And so the whole of it was very much organized around a prayerful endeavor. And it was a prayerful endeavor because the advance of the Moors had been great and was about to increase and move all through Europe, which means that Christendom in Europe would have fallen. So this was an outrageously important battle. And I shared with you at the beginning of the program a prayer that I really I just put together for my staff to be praying today to Our Lady of the Rosary as we face the Lepantos of our day and time. We're in a big Lepanto moment now because Christendom is falling. Christendom is falling away, not to the Moors. Christendom is falling away to agendas that are very far removed from the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. Politically, culturally, spiritually, we are in a moment of Lepanto right now. And so on this feast of Our Lady of Victory, on this feast of Our Lady of the Rosary, we need to do as all were advised to do by the Holy Father at that moment in history, in 1571. We need to be praying. We need to be praying the Rosary. Our Blessed Lady came to the Fatima children in 1917 and said, pray the Rosary every day, because they were facing a Lepanto moment. I should say they were going to be facing in the very near future a Lepanto moment, because what was going to happen within 4 months or so after Our Lady's apparitions there in Fatima, Portugal in 1917, was the Bolshevik Revolution, which led to the rise of communism and socialism in Russia. And Our Lady said, if we prayed the Rosary every day, that Russia's errors would not spread. But if we didn't, Russia's errors would spread. Well, here we are right now, and we're facing that behemoth. We're facing that demonic reality right now. We're facing the cultural and political fallout. The Soviet Union fell, praise be to God, but communism was not routed out of man's experience. And we're facing that right now, in many countries of the world, but we're facing it here in our own country. And we're facing it, it's wormed its way in culturally, and it has infested our political mindset right now. And so, you know, we're facing a Lepanto moment there. And then, of course, you know, I think that when we're, you know, living outside of the will of God, what begins to happen? Well, you know, I shared with you the other day, there's many repercussions of sin that hit the personal dimension, relationships with each other. Certainly, prior to that, the breaking of a relationship with God, but then all of nature cries out. It affects the whole created order, including the cosmos. And so we are facing, I think, some of the devastation, the fallout that comes by way of living outside of the will of God. And so we see things happening. So right now, of course, we're living in the wake, just what, 10 days ago, the wake of Hurricane Helene. And now we're facing Hurricane Milton. And these are big, powerful storms. And you've seen the devastation. They're predicting great devastation for the state of Florida. So we need to pray. So I'm asking you, on this feast of Our Lady of Victory, on this feast of Our Lady of Fatima, let's pray. And I'll tell you how we should pray. We need to pray through the power that is ours by the sacraments. I was thinking about that today in my own time of prayer when I was praying the Rosary. I was thinking, you know, to the efficacy of the Blessed Mother's intercession. And our Blessed Lady is all powerful with God because Our Lady is full of grace. She only prays in the will of the Father. And this is what makes her prayer so powerful. But to the extent that we're living a life of grace, our prayer becomes more powerful. And when we're attaching to that prayer that we're praying, you know, the full impact of the sacraments that we have received, you know, the grace of the sacrament of baptism, the grace of the sacrament of our confirmation, the grace of the sacrament, the every fervent and devout and holy reception of the Eucharist, every fervent, faithful, and devout reception of the sacrament of reconciliation. If we've been anointed for the anointing of the sick, all of the efficacy of that, all of those graces are there. You know, they're tied up in the eternal moment, and we become a conduit for those graces. So we want to bring the full power of that sacramental reality into our time of prayer as we're praying. And if we pray like that and we attach all of that, you know, we just say, Mary, we tuck all of this into your fiat to the Father. You know, if we tuck it all in there, my goodness sakes, nothing can stand up under that. Because we're all praying the will of the Father. You know, trusting in his omnipotence, trusting in his love, trusting in the ever-flowing reality of his mercy. And things can happen. Things can happen. All of that can affect, in the positive, relationships, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, the created order, the cosmic realities, all of it can affect that. So I really do want to encourage you today. All right, we've got some phone calls here. Going to get right on out there. We have Jim is calling us from the state of Iowa today, Siouxland Catholic Radio. Hey, Jim, I was just out your way with Jack not long ago.
Yeah.
It was wonderful
day here in Iowa today.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Share with us what's going on.
Well, what I was calling about was here we've been married 42 years. My first marriage, my wife's second. She had two children, and we have two of our own. And here a number of years ago, her niece called. I was for a husband-wife roast. I believe is what I would call it. And they asked us various questions. And one of them was, what's the last thing you do before you go to bed? What's your favorite color? What's your favorite song? And then they got to the, what's your husband's favorite? Oh, we all went, the men all went to the bathroom while they were asking the women these questions.
Okay.
And then they got to, the football. What's your husband's favorite football game? And she goes, he doesn't have one. Well, what's his favorite baseball team? Well, he doesn't have one. Well, what's his favorite basketball team? And she said, he doesn't have one. So anyway, then we come out of the bathroom, and the women go back to the bathroom. And then they ask us all the same questions. And anyway, then the women came out, and they started asking or telling the answers to the questions when we're all in the room. And I think the guys would have killed me when we just don't watch a lot of sports. You know, we have other things to do. And it was just kind of funny that just the way they were looking at us, that he doesn't have a favorite football team. He doesn't have a favorite basketball team or baseball team. And we might watch 1-2 games a year. We get along just fine.
Well, my goodness, Jim, you know, those kinds of little opportunities show us how much we do know about each other. And it sounds like the two of you know each other very, very well. How did the other couples do?
Not near as well. I think we had 9 out of 10, right? I think the closest one was 5 or 6 out of 10. But it was just kind of funny, you know.
I think that it's, I think that those, as I say, those kinds of little games let us know how much we really do know about each other and how much we don't. And of course, you know, the way that we find those things out, obviously, is by living together as husband and wife. But in addition to that, it's also by sharing and communicating what our likes are and what our dislikes are. So it sounds like that was a very informative kind of an opportunity for all of you. And I thank you for sharing it with us today. I think you're giving some other individuals some ideas out there on what they can do as a married couple.
I also have another comment. My daughter, who now is 30, she's 39. And she was going with a guy, and same thing, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, and all day Monday. And I said, Sarah, do you want to put up with this the rest of your life? Because I said, the chances are he is not going to change. And she looked at me and she goes, I don't want it. I said, then there's other nice guys out there and there's other nice girls out there that don't demand all that.
Mm.
And I think she really thanked me for that.
Well, that was good advice coming from a dad. I'll tell you, that is good advice. And, you know, that is so very, very true. You know, very frequently, what we see in those few months of getting to know you, we're going to see for the rest of that individual's life. So we have to choose wisely and choose carefully without the hope that we're going to make things, you know, different once we're married. It doesn't typically happen. I can't believe we're at the end of the program, but we are, Jim. Thank you. And Berta, I love you, and I will be praying for you. Absolutely praying for you. Berta is asking for prayer. She's having cataract surgery on Monday. And so we do pray for you, Berta, and I'll be putting you into my rosary, honey, and I'll let everybody at Women of Grace know. Berta is one of our facilitators in the country of Panama. So we are quite delighted that Berta has joined us, and we'll be praying for you, dear. Well, friends, I continue to pray for Florida. I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow. Until we have that opportunity, may the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ be yours. And may you experience all of the blessings that come to us by way of our mother's maternal beatitude. Bye-bye now.